Good morning. It's Wine Wednesday, and I'm your host, Ziggy the Wine Gal. Thank you for tuning in this morning. It's a happy Wine Wednesday at that, and a special edition Wine Wednesday. A big thanks to our sponsors for Wine Wednesday, Oliver's Markets. They have four fabulous locations, and we all know there is absolutely nobody that supports local like Oliver's Markets and Willoughby's Wine and Spirits. They have two great locations, Petaluma and downtown Santa Rosa. Well, like I mentioned, this is a special edition Wine Wednesday. I have my longtime good friend and colleague, Nick Goldschmidt, in studio. It is a very, very rare moment that he happens to actually be in Sonoma County where he lives. Welcome, Nick.
Thanks. Awesome to be back.
Well, you're never here.
No, I mean back in the studio.
Oh, so before we went live today, I was telling you how I was like cleaning out my closet and found this jacket that I was given from judging a wine competition in Indianapolis with you and a bunch of our friends, including Daryl Groom, in 2005, the Indianapolis International Wine Competition. You remember that?
Many.
I mean,
I've quite a few times.
I've known you quite a while. Your eldest daughter, Chelsea, and my daughter, Teal, were born like 8 hours apart.
Correct.
But who's keeping track?
Yeah, pretty cool.
I digress. Well, how many kids do you have? Five, right?
Five, yeah.
Yeah, set of twins, right?
Set of twins that helped along the number, yeah.
So how many of your children are in the wine world now?
Actually, by chance, two of them. One of them for sure is going to be in the wine business. His name's Luke. He's the number two child. And he went to Fresno State and doubled in chemistry. And currently, he's actually doing the vintage in New Zealand, but his resume is better than mine. It's
hard to believe, Nick.
I know. Well, listen to it. Opus in, obviously, in Napa.
Wow.
In the fires. And everyone had a story. So Opus Orangeries in Chile, where I've been working for 38 years now. Opus Orangeries, Louis Latour, Grange in Australia.
All the name drops.
Yeah, they were. Vega Sicilia. In Spain, and then yeah. Catena in Argentina, and then 2 years at Sonoma Gatry and Dutton Goldfield, and then he did a quick vintage last year in the Mosel, and now he's in New Zealand. So what is that? Nine vintages in nine countries.
Wow, he's definitely your kid.
Yeah.
I was driving in this morning, and I was laughing to myself, thinking, wow, Nick Goldschmidt, planes, trains, automobiles, all the things, South America half the time, North America, Europe, and all the places. And I was so fortunate that you were going to be in town this week and could come on Wine Wednesday. And for those of you just tuning in, I have Nick Goldschmidt, rockstar winemaker, in studio with me today. And you might detect just a slight little accent. Are you from Dallas?
Wait, yeah, no,
New
North,
York.
North Dakota.
North Dakota. I knew it.
You know, I went to North Dakota once, and I always say I'm from North Dakota. Everyone laughs, you know, huh? So I go to North Dakota. I tell the joke. No one laughs. I mean, it was so crazy.
Well,
I
think it's funny. Apparently, they don't. But you were born and raised in New Zealand.
Correct.
And what got you to the United States to make wine?
Well, I went, and then I studied in Australia, and it was kind of a weird segue into wine. I got into meristem tissue culture, which is a way to create clones and build plants. And I was doing that in New Zealand, and then I went to Australia, did viticulture, and then a postgrad in oenology. And I was working at Babbage at the time, and I went back to New Zealand for a couple of vintages with Joe Babbage. And I wanted to do 18 months, so I chose California, Chile, and then France. And I got this amazing job in California, a little winery called Carneros Creek in 1989. Went to Chile, and this whole circle just came to fruition actually the other day. So I went to Chile, worked there, and then I was on my way to work for Bruno Prats and Cos Estanel. And I got a call from Zelma Long, my most beautiful woman,
legend
mentor,
of all legends. Yeah,
and
Zelma Long.
She is just the number one sage in my life for sure, even today. And she offered me a job back at CIMI. And the funny thing is the way this came about is I was at a opening. Sorry, an anniversary of a wine in Chile actually 2 weeks ago, and Bruno Prats was there.
Oh, no.
And I went up to Bruno and I said, Bruno, I don't even remember this, but in 1989 I was supposed to come and work for you. He goes, I don't remember you. But anyway, the whole point was, it was amazing that wine always comes as full circle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been happening to me a lot lately. I think the energy levels out there, planet lineup, whatever's happening is like extra dimensional right now.
No,
it's very, very cool.
Yeah.
So fast forward, you're working at CIMI Winery, and now I just feel like every time I turn around, if I'm at Oliver's or a number of other places with a fine wine shop, I'm noticing like, okay, that's a Goldschmidt wine. That's a Goldschmidt wine. That's a Goldschmidt. Like they're everywhere, the Goldschmidt wines.
Well, it's a little complicated. I think that, and I was very fortunate when I got that job when I was 26, and at 27, LVMH, who owned Simi at the time, offered me a job blending for different wineries. So that included Cloudy Bay, New Zealand, Cape Mantel in Australia, Rufino in Italy, Terrazas in Argentina, which I became the first winemaker for. In 92, and Roses in Portugal. And so I got to meet all these amazing people. Went on hiatus when Constellation bought Simi. But 3 years later, I left and went to Allo Domecq. You know, we had 150 wineries in seven countries.
Yep.
So I got to hang out with all these amazingly famous, cool people in cool places for another 7 years. And then we got bought by Jim Beam, and then we got bought by Constellation. So in 2008, I went out on my own. And so what's happened is I've managed to maintain contact with all these amazing winemakers around the world. And through them, I can create, you know, brands or wines of identity or certain places. And I don't want to put them all under one brand or one portfolio, because what I try to show is the people themselves and the places and the people that I work with and things like that.
That's important. It's
yeah,
really
and
important.
And I think the stories, the storytelling is all we have, really. I mean,
but if you think about it, that's what wine is all about. There's no other beverage in this world that you're going to uncork and have this incredible experience, whether it's through vintage memorization of like, okay, in that year I was doing this or that, or the first time I had a Merlot, or the first time something from Alexander Valley or Dry Creek Valley or Napa Valley, whatever it is, and you remember that time. I mean, I am pretty sure that nobody that drinks beer says, well, that first time I had a Coors Light, buddy, you know, I was such and such. I mean, wine just evokes memories. It's just a time capsule, you know? And so to be able to put a thumbprint on a bottle of wine through sense of place and through people that you know is pretty amazing.
And it goes deeper than that, too. I think farming has come such a long way. I mean, My second degree is in organics and biodynamics, which it wasn't called organics back in 1982. It wasn't called organics back then. It was companion planting and double digging.
Right.
Organics is a relatively new term, but we've gone beyond that because I don't think organics is actually what people think organics is. And so actually gone on to regenerative farming, which is even beyond biodynamics. You can't tell that same story about beer or spirits, because when I made beer for 3 years commercially. What are you going to do tomorrow? It's the same as what I did yesterday, the same as what I'm going to do the next day.
Yeah.
And then spirits, for me, I'm a big distiller, and it's very hard to sort of give a sense of place for that, because the whole idea of distillation is to remove things rather than add things.
Right.
And then
we
put other spirits and, other liqueurs and things in it to enhance it. And so wine is a truly, and it's not only about the farming that I'm talking about, but it's also about the people. The people themselves come together and go, I've got a wine that's way worse than that from the same vintage, from the same vineyard. And this whole thing about what does terroir really mean? Terroir doesn't really exist, because when you added irrigation, you eliminated terroir. When I worked for a large company like Allo Domecq, I gave five wineries 10 tons of grapes from the same vineyard, and we all got together 1 year later, and guess what? All the wines tasted different. It's not about the soil. I mean, I'm not ruling out that you can grow grapes in the Sahara Desert or anything, but in an ideal situation and in a place that you can grow grapes, the human fingerprint is far more important that we give precision and tendency towards. We keep saying wine is made in a vineyard. No, it's not. It's made by the
person.
I have
like five fabulous new quotes from you in the last 30 seconds. Like, that's pretty awesome. The soil, in the vineyards, but what I'm just salivating over is this bottle of wine that you brought in this morning. Catherine Goldschmidt, named after your daughter, Catherine. So let's wrap up Wine Wednesday and talk about what's in this bottle.
Well, Catherine is, she's a twin. She's the middle daughter of the three, and she's a vet tech. She lives up in Tahoe. And in 2000, we made a barrel of wine together, all five children and myself, because when I lived in Chile, Augustin Pinochet, who was the dictator in Chile, he would cut off oil, power, water, and everything. And so making wine without electricity was really interesting and challenging. So Talk about terroir. That's what terroir is all about. When you've got no power, you got terroir. So we hand-picked, we handy-stemmed, we pigeage punched down, basket press, hand-pumped it to the barrel. I did put it in a cool room. And then we hand-bottled it, and we call it Five Gold Hands Unplugged. We make a barrel every year. And in 2001, Chelsea, my oldest daughter, wanted to make Merlot with me because we live on a Merlot vineyard. And we make that sort of in a Pomerol style, and then for... which is sweet, round, supple, rather than the angles that you often get with Merlot. And then Cabernet, Catherine wanted to make wine with me too. And just for fathers out there, the best thing, daughters between the ages of 13 and 20 don't really talk to their fathers.
Correct.
But if you have a family project, they have to talk.
Or their mothers, for that matter, I'm just saying.
But if you have a project with them, they have to talk to you.
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
So building a story and a culture and a personality around the wine is fascinating. And Catherine, the label itself, when Chelsea was two, I traced her in the head and she colored it, and that's where the label comes from. And then Catherine, being the middle daughter, she faces the other direction on the label because, you know, middle children are like,
yeah,
liars, manipulators, you know, think outside the box.
They might have hidden agendas, I don't know.
But they're the lovers, they're the glue. Yeah, no, because they're manipulating the rest of us. But that's why we love middle children, and that's why they're unique and special. And we make this wine, it's from an old semi-reserve Cabernet Vineyard, very silky, but it's because it's Alexander Valley, it's going to be more red fruit. So it's going to have sort of that electricity and that tension that you get from Alexander Valley with great natural acidity, very up and down, fantastic.
Wow. Oh, it just sounds salubrious and sassy and savory and all the things.
And we drank a ton during COVID.
Wow, yeah, there's that. We digress. That's got to be a whole other show. I've had Nick Goldschmidt in studio this morning on Wine Wednesday, my special guest, special edition Wine Wednesday. Nick, who I've known for years, is just a really, truly rock star winemaker. Lover of the wine, and it's been such a pleasure to get some of the backstory today that I didn't know about, and to welcome you in studio. Hey, let's go taste some wine.
Awesome.
Have a wonderful Wine Wednesday, my friends. Cheers.